kind of where it comes to life is, you know, where you actually start to think about the data that you're working with. So in this case, we've kind of, we talk about destinations, and then you can kind of see this funny syntax here that says int pk. So pk is a is the unique key for that instance. So I guess that destination, and int is the integer. So the way we've set up our database is that we have a table of destinations, and you describe all your data tables in a models file. So in our case, we've kind of got this class called destination that inherits from a Django-based class called model, and you describe all the fields that you'd have on this. So just to start with, we've got name and description. Name is a char field, and description is a text field. And then you can put any constraints that you need on there. So, you know, when you're working with purely with JavaScript, for example, if there is a database that you're backing off onto, you'd have to do all that like client-side validation of, you know, is this the right length? Does it have the right fields? But you can do that in Django and express all of that in Python. So, you know, in the case where we've got, you know, a destination here and a description, you can then also say, okay, if we have an object which relates to that, so for example, a space cruise, has to be going somewhere, you'd hope, you know, it doesn't just fire off into space. So you can actually describe the relationships between the different models that you've got in your database. So, you know, in this case, we say this cruise has got actually many destinations that can make many stops, which is pretty cool. So this is a many to many field, and we'll call that relationship cruises. So when we refer to when we get a list of cruises from the database, then, you know, we can see both the destinations for that cruise, and also when you get a list of destinations, you can also do a reverse lookup to say what cruises are available on that for you. So this is kind of Django's data model, I guess. And in terms of the fields that it supports, it's got all the stuff that you kind of need for a basic web application. You know, you want to express an email address, so you use that. Maybe if you want people to upload images, then there's an image field. If you want to work with JSON data, then there's a JSON field. So kind of everything you'd need for a web app is kind of built into Django, which is what's so cool about it. And it actually does the hard work of translating this Python file into a database for you. So Django works off this concept called migrations. So once you've kind of expressed the data that runs the web application, you run another command called make migrations. So Django manage.py make migrations. And that will generate these migrations files, which you never need to look into, but you know, basically it's a file that expresses to a system what needs to exist in the database in terms of the structure. So these files will exist as migrations as a point in time. So let's say you want to use Postgres as the database server, or MySQL, or even SQLite is the built-in one. Then when you build the migrations, you can configure which database backend you want to use. And then you just run migrate, and it creates all the tables for you, all the structures. It creates all the foreign key relationships for the models that you've expressed. And then when you basically want to then run your website, your database is there and ready for you. So it kind of automates all of that database management stuff, which becomes so tricky when you're working, you know, in production environments.
Okay, so then that's going to be my object relational mapper. That's going to be my ORM. So like if we were going to put this into .NET terms, that sounds an awful lot like entity framework. That I can go in, yeah. I can describe my schema, and then mm-hmm. entity framework is able to create the database and manage it and handle all of the updates and so forth. And then what I'm also hearing from you is that my database type, that could change, but I don't need to worry about like recreating my migrations. I don't need to worry about recreating my data model, that's just going to work. So if I'm doing SQLite locally and I'm doing Postgres in production, that all of that's going to behave the way that it should without me having to do anything special.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, yeah, for people who are familiar with Entity Framework and I guess the migration model that has, so similar to a DAC pack, I guess, you know, it would create the migrations files. They're not specific to the database backend. So, you know, if you do want to use SQLite locally, SQLite's brilliant because it doesn't require a service or a server to be running on your local machine. It's just like a plain text. Oh, it's not even plain text. It's a binary file with a database inside it. It's fairly performant. It's good enough for local. You know, you don't have to run SQL Express Edition or anything locally. You can just have this file with all the data inside it. And then when you deploy to production, you can go all the way up to, you know, a Postgres cluster or SQL as well. You can use Microsoft SQL Server with Django. Microsoft actually maintains a plugin for Django that works with Microsoft SQL Server.
Okay, I do want to go back real quick to the model because one of the other big things that I notice in there is that that there's also like validation as well. So it's not just that you're saying that hey, this is a car field or a char field. Char isn't quite it's not quite as heated of a debate as say, you know, GIF or JIF. And by the way, the correct answer is GIF. I'm willing to you know, stake my place in the sand on that one. But when it comes to like hard char, I find myself just flip-flopping back and forth. So whichever it is that you want to pronounce it as. But I noticed that you've got like char field and that you've also then got things like max length and whether or not it can be blank and so forth. Is that going to be enforced only on the server or is that also going to be enforced on the client as well?
So there's different parts to the enforcement, I guess, working all the way from the database up. So if you say that this field cannot be null, so it can't be, so I guess databases of there's both. So blank could be just an empty string in a database. It could also be null. So some database engines, depends on the database, but some of them actually support null as a field. As a field value. So if you say this cannot be null, when it builds the database, it will actually say in the table, this field cannot be null. So even if at the database level, you can't even put data into the table. Some of the other, so I guess more value specific ones, max length would be part of the, this would be a, you know, a varchar 50 field basically when it gets created, or an nvarchar. I can't remember off the top of my head which one it would be, depending on which database backend. Yeah. But, you know, it would actually create the tables with those constraints for you. And then it also does another level, which is that when you're submitting data through a form, so, you know, if you've created a client-side form and you've submitted data, it does server-side validation of the data. It also does another level, which is that when you generate HTML forms in Django, it adds some of the constraints to the HTML attributes, so the input fields. So the input fields will actually have the max length kind of encoded into them. So that's all that stuff's in sync, basically. That's the nice thing about it, is that the HTML form on the front end would have the max length on the input field. The server-side validation that gets run when you click submit would check some of those attributes. And then the database has also got both the length validation as well as null validation and any other attributes. So it's not just length, blank and null. You can also do, you can go nuts if you want and do like full regexes and stuff like that. There's a common mistake people make is they write a regex for email and then only later figure out that there's an email field built in, which has got all that stuff for you. But yeah, if you want to go crazy with the validation, you can do that. You can also write validation functions in the model. So you can basically extend this class by adding additional methods to it, which would do server-side validation when the form is submitted. So, you know, if you want to check that, you know, the cruise, the date of the cruise is, you know, not in the past or something, you know, you could do all that stuff, but you can do that server-side in Python.